Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 25th, 2015. Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
God's word for our meditation is also the basis for the children's devotion is from Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus said, "In a certain town there was a judge, neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time the judge refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly.' May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. I now invite the children to come forward for a brief children's devotion right up here. Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Doing good? Doing good? Tired? Yeah. You tired? Yeah. You tired? Yeah, you're all tired. Maybe I should have a children's devotion, have pillows, and everyone can just come up and sleep. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? Yes, it would be, yes. I have underneath this red something to help you understand about praying. Now, later on, they're going to be learning about praying. All day today, we're going to be learning about praying. There's a little thing inserted in your worship folders about praying. But all of that stuff requires that you're able to read. Now, you're able to read, but this little one can't read yet. No, you can't. So I'm going to teach you something underneath here that can help you understand how to pray in a really cool way. Malia, do you want to pull off the red? Ta-da! It's my hand. You all have a hand? Let me see your right hand. Hold up your right hand, honey. This hand. Hold it up like that. No? Okay. All right. Put it down there, all right? Right in front of you. This is how you can use your hand to remember how to pray really cool. On your hand, you have a pointer finger. What's the pointer finger used for? Yeah. Pointing out stuff, okay? So when you're praying, you have to remember, who am I praying to? Oh, look at that. When I point, it goes straight up. I'm praying to God. I'm praying to God because of what Jesus did for me. How neat is that? So that's the first thing to remember. I'm praying. I'm actually talking to God, the same God who created the heavens and the earth. That same God. He has all power. The same God who came back to life again after he died. Did you ever have a pet that died? I had a pet that died. And then it would be really nice to see that pet again, but I can't see that pet again. I had a mom and a dad, and they both died. And I really kind of miss them sometimes, but you know what? I am going to see them again because of God. So that's the God I'm praying to, the God who has all power and who loves me. Now, the second one is the tallest finger in your fingers. See all your fingers? It's the tallest one. So I use that one to teach people, you know, you have to pray for the important people in your life. That'd be your mom and your dad, the big guys, the adults. Might be your teacher. Might be someone really kind of important to you. Maybe a very good friend. Okay? And that's who you pray for. You pray for those people who are actually, they're in charge of you until you become a grown-up to make sure that you know who God is. Then this other finger, the ring finger. Did you know that that's the weakest finger in your whole finger? Can you do that? Okay. Now just wiggle your fourth finger, but don't wiggle any other finger. They move just a little bit. That ring finger is just, that's just how God made it. So it's the weakest one. So on this finger, I put all the things that I'm kind of worried about. Maybe Malia's sick this week, so I have Malia in my prayers. Maybe there's some bad things that happen to my next door neighbor or my good friend. Maybe my good friend's lonely. Maybe I'm lonely. All the things that are kind of weak and kind of make me sad, they go on that finger. And then the little finger, that little finger, that's for me. I pray for me last. I say, dear Jesus, take care of me. Keep me close to you. Keep me always remembering that you are my Savior. Now, I've used all the fingers, but I forgot the thumb. No, I used the thumb for last, right? Thumb is, good job, God. Way to go, God. Because God says that when we pray to him in Jesus' name, he says, guess what? I hear you. I got it covered. You're done. So I say, thank you, sir. And that's how I pray. Okay? So we're going to pray like that, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, taking away my sins. Watch over all the adults in my life who take care of me. I don't care if it's my mom and dad or my grandma and grandpa or my Sunday school teacher, my pastor, every grown up. You watch over for the, make sure you take care of them. And my fourth finger, my third, that's kind of a weak finger, Lord. I have a lot of things in this world I know that are not quite right. And there are a lot of people that are lonely. Take care of them. And this last finger, Jesus, take care of me. Thank you for taking away my sins. Keep me close. And by the way, God, thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. And that's it. And you may now go back to your seats. This is called the parable of the persistent widow. Push. It's a nice way to remember this parable. It's been used a lot. I'm using it again today just so you remember. Push. Jesus told his disciples. Jesus is talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. They don't know what prayer is. They think they know. You'll talk to most people and you ask them, what is prayer? They'll say, oh, it's talking to God. How wrong they are. You need to know from the beginning, prayer is an act of worship. An act of worship in which a believer can come to the Almighty God at any time, any place, with any words whatsoever, and ask for anything. Moses, when he was in front of the living God, took off his sandals and bowed down. The leper, when he needed cleansing, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Mary and Martha ran out to Jesus and fell with their foreheads to the ground. It's an act of worship. You're coming into the presence of the living God. Whoa. So Jesus noticed that his disciples were not quite getting it as far as prayer goes. This year in confirmation class, every couple of weeks, they learn a new, different pattern for praying. You see that? That's what the insert is all about in your worship folder. It's a pattern for praying. It's helpful to have a pattern because that way you can make sure you got everything covered that you want to cover when you're talking to God. And sometimes what happens is, you know this as well as I, you're with other people and a situation comes up and they know you go to church. And they know that you and God, well, you seem to know God better than they do. And so they turn to you and they say, could you please say a prayer? If you have a pattern that you can plug into and bring all those current requests, you can come into God's presence with a pattern that will not only help that person, but it will refresh you as well because you know that you've been able to help them. So here is Jesus, he's getting towards the end of the ministry. He's going to be going, suffering and dying on the cross very soon. And they still don't get it. They still don't get what prayer is. They still don't get this relationship that they have with the Almighty loving God, even though they're walking with him every day. He does not get mad at him. He takes the time to teach. And yes, it does take time. But it is time well spent because he wants his disciples to know how to pray. So he says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God or man. There was a widow in that town who kept coming up to the judge with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time, the judge refused. I don't care about God. I don't care about people. I'm comfy in my courtroom. Get out of here, woman. In the Middle East in those days, a woman did not have standing to come into court unless her husband was alive. Did not have standing. How do you get justice? She had no boys to go on her behalf. It was just her against the whole system set up against her, trying to reach a judge who could care less. Finally, the judge said to himself, even though I don't fear God, I don't care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Completely self-centered, self-absorbed, have nothing at all, no righteous thing in there at all. Just all about me, 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 me. I want to get some sleep at night. I hate her ringing the phone off the hook. All right, I'll give her some justice. Interesting thing, Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. Someone who has no connection at all with God, who does not love people, this unjust judge said the right thing. But Jesus then goes on to amplify what's going on. He says, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. So Jesus says, guess what? As bad as that judge is, the flip of that is the true God, the living God, who loves you, who's already proved his love by living and dying and coming back to life again. This judge. He wants to answer prayers. He begs you to come to him with whatever is requesting, whatever is on your hearts and minds, he wants to know. All right. So far I got that. Cool thing in this is the word, will not the Lord bring about justice for his chosen ones? I'm looking at a whole room full of chosen ones. You know what that means? Of all the people on the planet, God chose you to be with him. He chose me as a little squawking baby to be baptized into Jesus' name. That means he chose me to be clothed with all the holiness of Jesus Christ. He chose me. He picked me. I am on God's team. Don't deserve to be there. Have no skill to be there, always trying to get off the team. And God chose me to be with him. In God's word, he says that he chose us to be with him before the creation of the world. So here I am in 2015. Think of that. Before God made the sun, moon, and stars, before God made the animals, before God made the planet, before God created time, he chose me. There is a huge difference now when I read God's Bible history. When I read that history of Jacob wrestling with God, because God wants me to know how he kept his promise to get me, his chosen one, into heaven. Part of keeping that promise was to have this man, Jacob, go through a time of such darkness he was afraid for his life, afraid he wouldn't make it to the next day. And so he took a hold of God, and he wrestled with God. And he says, God, you got to bless me. And God finally wrestled all night long with him. And God said, well, I got to go now. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. And then God took his finger and touched Jacob's hip. Can't walk right anymore. And God says, what's your name? Jacob, he says. That means trickster. God says, not anymore. Your name is going to be Israel because you wrestled with God and man and you overcame. You win. And God blessed him. Throughout his whole life long, Jacob walked with a limp. The entire people of Israel don't eat that part of the body anymore of an animal because they want to remind themselves of this particular history lesson. When Jacob overcame God by prayer, and what did he say? I will not let you go until you bless me. He knew who the true God was. He knew that his true God loved him beyond what he could even imagine. He knew the true God had all power in heaven and on earth, and he knew that he loved to answer prayer. So he said, you're going to keep your promise. I will not let you go until you bless me. And that's exactly what God did. Not mad at him at all. Very happy. Recorded that so that I would know everything that took place to make sure I would be part of God's chosen people. Wow. You and I, we don't know how to pray right. We pray for a little bit and then, we go up. And we pray a little bit more. And when I was a teenager, confession time, I was very impatient. I mean, like, way impatient. If I asked for something, I expected it in my head to be right there. Okay, thank you very much. And as I got from 13 to 14, it didn't get better. No, I expected that it be there right then and then on a gold platter so that I could, enjoy it more. It's just the mindset that I had was not a proper mindset. And I'm going to God in prayer. And am I learning anything from God's word? Well, I am, but it's a slow learn process. My mom and dad, they taught me how to pray, and they didn't seem to be sinking in. Well, in my case, God said to my family, basically, well, you've tried. And he kind of gently nudged my mom and dad off to the side, and he taught me how to pray. And when God's your teacher, the lessons are well learned. They're very painful lessons at the moment, but you never forget them. And I remember one time during this teaching process of about a year and a half, I was screaming to God to let me die. I begged God, let me die. I need to die. I need to get away from this pain. I need to run away from this pain. I need to go home to heaven. There's no pain in heaven. Get me out of here, God. I hate this. One time in that prayer, my mom came into the special room that they had me in at the hospital, and she heard that prayer, and she said to me, you don't know what you're praying. I was really mad then at my mom. Of course I know what I'm praying. I'm asking God to get me out of here, and I started to argue with my mom. In the back of my head, I said, to every other time she's been right, why am I arguing? But my mouth just kept on talking. And she didn't get angry. She stayed very calm, and she smiled, and she said, you don't know what you're praying. Then finally the nurse came in, and it was time to, I could get another shot of painkiller, and I went out again. And I'm here to tell you, my mom was right. I grew up to find out I did not know what I was praying. Because God, in his great mercy, had in mind for me to get married to Donna. God in his great mercy had in mind for me to be given two wonderful children who would grow up and meet and marry two godly men. And now I have two godly grandchildren. All of those blessings I would have missed if I would have had my selfish way and gone home. I would not have met you. I would not have been able to be blessed by knowing who you are and being able to pray for you and teach you God's word. All of those blessings I would not have enjoyed if God had listened to my prayer the first time. Was he listening? Oh, yeah, he was listening. But what God sometimes does, he makes it very clear that he really would prefer that I change what I'm asking. For instance, the Apostle Paul, he was called to be a missionary. Jesus picked him. He chose him. Go to the whole world. And as he's going to the whole world, it's a little bit hard. We don't know what it is that was bothering him, but some messenger of Satan was tormenting him. He called it a thorn in his flesh. Some people think it might have been, you know, arthritis or bad eyes, or he was crippled up a little bit. We don't know what it was. He calls it a thorn in the flesh, and it was getting in the way of preaching God's word. So he goes to God, who picked him for the job, and he says, God, get rid of this. And he tells us he did it three times. And then God interrupted him one time, and he said, maybe if you know what I'm praying, what I'm doing with this, you'll change things around a little bit. You know why I gave this to you? Because I have given you so many blessings, I don't want your head to explode and you to think that you don't need me. So I gave you this thorn in the flesh to keep you humble, because my big goal in life, in your life, is to get you into my heaven. So the Apostle Paul stopped praying to get rid of that thorn in his flesh. Instead, he said, God, if that's what you want, quick, make me as weak as you possibly can so that more people can get glory from what you have said and done for me and all people. So, to make a long story short, pray. And if God's not listening, keep on praying. And it doesn't care if it lasts for hours or weeks or days or months or years. Keep on praying and don't give up. Never give up. You're coming to the God of the universe who says, come. You're coming to the God of the universe who's made the way wide open for you to walk right into his chambers and say, what do you want? And you can tell him what you want. You're talking to the God of the universe who has all power in heaven and on earth, and he loves to answer prayer, especially the prayer of his chosen ones. So in his name, let us pray this whole week long. Amen.